We'll get into some of the other verses throughout the chapter this evening that I think will fit in well with the message. And of course, in the context of the text here this evening, I don't think there's probably a believer who wouldn't want their life to be directed by God. I don't think that anyone who is truly born again would say, no, I don't want God to have a part in directing my life. Though there are times when we are self-willed, there's no doubt about that. We say, well, I want to do what I want to do, and I just want to do that. We recognize as believers that God's way is best. He knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end, and he knows all about our life. We said that this morning with Peter when Jesus said to him, you know, when you're old, this is what's going to take place. Jesus knew exactly how long Peter was going to live, what he was going to do with his life, and all those things. So the Lord knows what is best, and he knows our lives. I'm sure that for many of us, trying to figure out what we have tried to figure out what the same thing that Jeremiah struggled with in our life, and that is, O Lord, I know what the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I'm sure there's been times when we said, I just don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do. I don't know how to respond in this situation. I don't know where to go from here. That's what Jeremiah's thought and prayer in Jeremiah 10:23. It's not in us to know what's the best. We can think we know what's best, and then things don't always seem to go as planned. It doesn't matter how young or old we are, we need God's help with our choices. Sometimes we think, well, young people need to seek God what to do with their life. But does it change, really? No, we all need it. It doesn't matter how young or old we are, we need to know, Lord, what is next? What shall I do? You know, the good news is about this whole situation that God wants a part in our life. It's not like we say, I don't know what to do, and God says, too bad, you'll have to figure it out. No, if we have that desire that we want to know what to do, God is interested in our life, and he wants to have a part of our life, and he wants to direct our life. It's a great blessing, isn't it, to think that God cares enough about our lives individually that he says, I want to have a part in that. I want to direct you in the way that you should go. The question is, how does that work and what are the results of it? Well, I believe the answer is found in our text and throughout the chapter of Psalm 37. And so let's look at Psalm 37, 23 and 24 to begin with this evening. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So the title of the message this evening is, Are Your Steps Ordered by the Lord? Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful this evening that we can look at a psalm such as this, and realize that this is the truth of your word, that you have a plan for our life, and Lord, that you desire to order our steps. Lord, what a blessing it is to know that somebody greater than us, whose will and way is perfect, that is you, Lord, has a desire to direct us who don't know which way to turn sometimes, and we can't see the end of the road, and we sometimes don't know what's around the next corner. Lord, we thank you that you have a desire to lead us, to guide us. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd see through your word tonight how that can be in our life. And that it would be a reality of our life, and that we'd have a desire to have it so. For we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to think, first of all, about the understanding of what exactly is being meant here in verse 23 and 24, particularly verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Steps. A step is one step at a time, isn't it? It doesn't even say the path of a good man is ordered by the Lord. It says the steps of a just man, or a good man, excuse me, are ordered by the Lord. We live our life one decision at a time. We like to think we've made lots of we just got our life planned out, but every day we have to make decisions that are going to affect our life. And the Bible says the steps, individual steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I've used the analogy before, but it hits me every time, especially when we've had fog, like we've had recently in the mornings. It's been kind of foggy some days. And we're driving down the road. What do you want to see? You want to see further than you can, right? When the fog is closed in, you say, I want to know what's ahead of me further than what I'm able to see. When it's foggy, we can just see a short distance. And depending on how dense the fog is, that may be a very short distance. And, you know, our life is often like that. We would like God to just lift up the fog and let us see way down the road, and so we know exactly what's coming. But that's not the way God operates in our life. Yes, sometimes He gives us a glimpse, a goal to head towards, and we should have a goal that God will give us goals and things that He has, gives us the direction for our life. But generally speaking, it's just a step at a time, isn't it? Because we couldn't handle the whole path. We couldn't handle the whole road. And so He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God's leading in our life is often just one step at a time. And what does that mean? Need? What does that take? It takes faith. Because really, isn't that what driving in fog, when you can't see that far, you just have to go a little bit slower, and you have to think, okay, well, I just got to guide myself by what I can see right now and what I know is ahead. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Again, that same thing. God directs our steps. We don't know what tomorrow holds, so we need God's wisdom in each step we make today. How often have we seen how God has prepared us for what is ahead by the steps that He has caused us to take? And we say, why this way? Why is this going to be? Why is this turning out this way? And then we get a little further down and go, wow, well, that corner I made back there, that prepared me for this spot right here. Because God was directing our steps. And we see how God prepares us for what we will face, even though we have no idea what lay ahead. What was He doing? He was directing our steps. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They are ordered by the Lord. We might naturally think that the psalmist is speaking of God as a commander. Left, right, left, right, left, right. Right? That's what we think of as being orders, a commander ordering their infantry to march in a certain way. But that's not what is meant by this word ordering here. The word ordered has the idea of thought, of a proper, rendered sure, prosperous, direct, fastened, firm, befixed, established. So what's it saying here? It's saying that God establishes our life, really, one step at a time. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They are rendered sure. They are made prosperous. They are directed. They are established. The steps of a good man are that way. God does not only give us direction, but the path He lays out is prepared for us, and it is sure. His path for us establishes us and gives us the ability to stand firm. The steps of a good man are ordered. They're established by the Lord. And so we have that thought before us. Now let's look at this. What does it mean to have our steps directed, ordered by the Lord? Well, first of all, we see in verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's the difference, isn't it? That means not everyone's steps are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Which begs the question then, who is a good man, or what is a good man? The bad news is, none of us are inherently good, are we? Because Psalm 14 says, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that understood. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's repeated in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. We say, well, let's close our Bibles and go home then. There's none that doeth good, and that's only the steps of a good man that are ordered by the Lord. But no, that we don't need to do that, because there's good news. Because the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Only by faith can we be made righteous. Our faith is counted to us for righteousness. Our righteousness comes from Christ, not of ourselves, but from Him. And therefore, we are made righteous in Christ through faith in what Christ has done for us. And so when we look at this psalm, then this verse, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, we can say the steps of a believer are ordered by the Lord. The steps of one who has been made righteous and been made good, as it were, in the sight of God because of Christ. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But verse 5 gives us a little bit more detail as to having our steps ordered by the Lord. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And so we would have to realize that it's a committed man that has his steps ordered by the Lord. The word commit means to roll onto. The thought of a heavy burden being rolled off our back, as it were, onto the shoulders of one who is greater or stronger or one who is going to help us carry that. Who is that? That's God. So it says, commit our way unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Roll the burden of life, the burden of knowing what to do with our life, roll it upon the Lord, and He will direct your paths. As we said at the outset, making choices about life can be burdensome. And so the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The committed person, the one who's committed to Christ and committed to the Lord, has his steps handled by one who can handle those decisions and life itself. Your steps can't be ordered by the Lord unless you're committed to following His way, in other words. You say, well, I want my steps committed by the Lord, but I'm just going to do what I want to do. Well, then your steps aren't going to be ordered by the Lord. You need to commit your way to Him. Give that burden of your life's direction to Him. It's faith again, isn't it? It's trust. To trust God's will with your life and commit it to Him completely. What did Jesus say when He was on the earth? He said, not my will, but thine be done. And that's really what committing our way to the Lord is saying, Lord, I have things that I think I want to do with my life, but Lord, not my will, but thine be done. It's rolling our way, committing our way to Him and saying, Lord, I want You to direct my life. I'm going to mess up if I direct it. So Lord, I want You to direct my paths. We got to be committed to following God's plan. And if we waffle back and forth, James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Sometimes we're like this, Lord, please give me direction. I'm going to commit my way to You. And then we get going along and say, wait a minute, I've got some things I'd like to do. Lord, give me my way back. I'm going to do it myself now. Oh, wait a minute, I got into trouble. Lord, can you look after this again for me? And we go back and forth and back and forth. But if we would desire God to order our steps, then we need to commit our way to Him. Say, Lord, I want Your will to be done in my life. We can't keep going back and forth and expect God to establish our paths. The steps of a good man, a committed man, and verse 7 tells us another thing, and that is a patient man. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in what? In his way. So we're still talking about a way here. So we're talking about our way, patience in our way because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. The steps of a patient man are ordered by the Lord. We said last Sunday morning in the message that perhaps Peter was a little impatient. And he said, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But here the psalmist says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I said last week, that's probably the hardest thing we are asked to do, really, isn't it? Patience. To commit our way to the Lord and then patiently wait for Him to direct and open doors, close doors, and lead us in the way that He would have us to go. Impatience has gotten many a person into trouble. I'm reminded of King Saul. Started out so well, didn't he? So humble. Didn't even want to be anointed the king. But Samuel said, it's that he's the one, anoint him to be the king. When they came to anoint him, he was nowhere to be found. He was hiding because he was such a humble man. But impatience got a hold of him. And there was a time when Samuel says, Saul, wait until I get there. And then we're going to sacrifice to the Lord before you go into battle. And Samuel was perhaps late getting there. And when he got there, what had happened? Saul got impatient and said, Samuel's not coming. I'll look after the sacrifice. But it wasn't his place to sacrifice. So his impatience got him into trouble. Our verse here tells us to rest in the Lord. Not to fret because of evildoers, but to rest in the Lord. We need not be agitated when waiting on the Lord because He has everything in control. I would say, but Lord, you got to do. I got to help you out here because you're obviously not doing this quick enough, and things are going to fall apart. No, he says, rest in me, wait patiently. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Don't worry about the wickedness that's going on. Don't worry that things aren't going to work out. Trust me, God says. Trust me. He He has everything in control. We're told to wait patiently. As if waiting isn't bad enough, we have to wait patiently. You know, you can wait without waiting patiently. You can get stuck behind somebody going along the road at 60 kilometers an hour, it's 80, like happened to us today, and think, I just want to get where I'm going, and it's 80. Doesn't this truck know? Can't that truck go any faster? And you have to wait because you can't pass, but it's not patiently, is it? Or you can wait patiently. You can just say, oh, well, we're going to get there when we get there, and it just this is the way it's going to be. If we wait patiently, it's a lot better on the blood pressure than if we wait impatiently. Sometimes we have little choice but to wait, but how often do we do it patiently? Look at Psalm 40, verse 1. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. So when he wrote Psalm 37 and he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, he knew what that meant. I waited patiently, he said. What happened when he waited patiently? The Lord heard, and the Lord did something about it. In his time, not David's time, perhaps. We're often in such a hurry to get things done that we think, I can't wait for God. God's just going to have to understand. I couldn't wait for him. I had to get going and get this done. Young people can't wait for God to bring the right person in their lives. Can't wait for God to show them his plan for their life's work and all those different things. We're impatient. We must realize that God's timing is perfect, and everything he wants us to do, we can accomplish when we do it according to his schedule. That's the thing, isn't it? We think that I won't have time to get everything done that I need to do if I wait for God to show me. But God says, I have a perfect plan for your life. It's mapped out. Just trust me, and you'll get everything done that you need to get done because I can see your life. Lamentations 3:25 and 26 says this, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's good to wait. It's good to be patient. For your steps to be ordered by the Lord, the Bible says here we must be patient. Also says the steps of a meek man. Verse 11, it says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The good man, his steps are ordered by the Lord. A committed man's steps are ordered by the Lord. A patient man's steps are ordered by the Lord. And a meek man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Wait a minute. You have to be meek, don't you? Because if you think I got this, then why would you commit your way to the Lord? The statement here that says the meek shall inherit the earth seems to be the opposite of what we would expect. Because what do we say? A take charge person, man, they're going to take over and they're going to rule and they're going to have everything in their power and control. But God says the meek shall inherit the earth. And Jesus repeats that, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But if you think you can do it by yourself, then you can't expect God to order your steps. You're just going to order them yourself. Try to anyway. Because you'll say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I don't need help. Isn't that why the stereotypical situation is that men don't ask for directions? I can figure it out. I know where I'm going. Isn't that humankind? I can figure it out. I don't need God to show me. I can do it. But God says, if you want me to direct and order your steps, be meek. Be humble. Submit to me. Submit to my plan. Look at Psalm 32, verse 9. It says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Don't be like the horse or the mule that have no understanding. Don't have to have that bridle in there that says, oh, okay, I'll go this way. Oh, okay, I'll go that way. No, submit to the Lord. Be meek, be humble, accept his way. It's interesting that the part of the fruit of the Spirit that's mentioned in Galatians 5:22 and 23 is meekness. On the contrary, being self-willed and proud is a fruit of walking after the flesh in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. If we would have our steps ordered by the Lord, then we need to be meek. What are the results of having our steps ordered by the Lord? We've really seen the qualifications for it. The good man, the man who is committed. And by the way, this is, applies to women too. The one who is patient, the one who is meek. Now what is the result back in verse 23? It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God delights in your way when you allow him to order your steps. What a wonderful thing it is, and probably one of the most precious statements of the Bible. God delights in our way. What is to delight in something? It means to take pleasure in. God takes pleasure in our way, in our path. It's not a chore or a burden for him to order my steps or your steps. It's his delight. He says, I'd be glad to do that. I love to do that. I'm happy to do that. I'm so happy to see people who will allow me to do that. God is pleased when we follow his direction and see what he has in store for us. And may I remind us again tonight that God has a wonderful plan for our lives, and he delights in fulfilling it. He delighteth in his way. And verse 24 is a comforting one as well, because it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. If your steps are being ordered by the Lord, you will be upheld. To be upheld means to not fall down completely. Being directed by the Lord, having your steps ordered by the Lord, doesn't mean you're instantly perfect. It doesn't mean there won't be mistakes. It doesn't mean there won't be difficulties. It just means that when you fail in your life and make wrong decisions and don't allow God perhaps to have the input into your life decisions that you desired, ultimately he is there to say, never mind, I got you. I caught you. You're not going to be utterly cast down. Yes, we will fail and we will fall, but the difference is that we will not be utterly cast down because the Lord is there to catch us. Remember when you were a child perhaps, and maybe you wanted to walk along maybe a curb. You know, there's a little bit of drop on the one side and grass on the other maybe, or maybe one of the parking blocks, and you think, well, I can do this. And your parents thought, I think they're going to fall. What were they? They were ready to catch you when you fell. Right? They were ready to uphold you. You weren't utterly cast down if they were there beside you, because they were there, well, let me get you. And they stopped us from being utterly falling down as best that they could. Of course, God's ability to do that is far greater than our ability as parents to do that. Verse 17 of our chapter here says, the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. He's there to uphold you. He's there to steady you on your way and on your path. Psalm 145, verse 14 says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Isn't that a great thing? God is there to pick us up when we fall, if we're allowing him to order our steps. Your salvation in Christ is secure. Your hope is solid, and the opportunity to be restored is there. Why? Because he won't let you be utterly cast down. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Proverbs 24, verse 16. And Jude 24 is a great promise, because it says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. What a great thing it is that God can keep us from falling. And for those times when we didn't listen to the Lord like we should and we fell, he's there to catch us so that we're not utterly cast down. We also realize that one of the benefits, shall we say, one of the results of having our steps ordered by the Lord is that he will provide for us. Look at what it says in verse 25. It says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David said he'd never seen the righteous forsaken, never seen the righteous starving or begging for bread. You know, the Bible tells us, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Remember again, that's our needs. Not all our wants. He said, I'll provide all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. However, put that into context of verse 4 of Psalm 37 here, where it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God often provides so much more, doesn't he, than our very needs. What are our needs? Our need is basically, bread and water, maybe a few veggies thrown on the side, and, bacon maybe or something. That'd be the needs, and a shelter. But God says, listen, I promise I'll look after you in those things. If you let me direct your paths, I'll look after those things. But if you delight in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart too. So much more than just our absolute necessity needs. Psalm 34 verse 9 says, there is no want to them that fear him. If we make the Lord our focus, he will bless us with things too. But when the Lord is our focus, we won't be as worried about some of the things that we worry about if he's not our focus, will we? One said that God will not lead you, the will of God will not lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And Hudson Taylor, that missionary to China many years ago, said this, God's will, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I haven't seen the righteous forsaken. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I will provide for you, God said. If you're following my plan, if you're letting me lead your life, I will provide your needs. Sometimes we get ourselves into trouble because we run ahead of God and do things our own way, and it results in difficulty. But God said, if you just let me, I would have, could have led you. I could have provided for you. I would have provided for you, but you tried to rush on ahead. Of course, we realize that if we're letting our steps be ordered by the Lord, that also, as verse 27 says, we will be departing from evil and doing good. The step, God will never lead you to do evil. If you're letting God lead your steps, order your steps, you'll be leaving sin in the rearview mirror. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. If you're struggling with sin in your life, maybe it's time to say, Lord, I want you to order my steps, because then you'll be heading away from those things which would snare you and drag you down. Verse 31 says another blessing of having our steps ordered by the Lord, and that is that our steps will not slide. Sliding typically is a loss of control, isn't it? Sliding, when you think of sliding, what is that? Sliding is losing control. You're driving down the road and your car starts to slide, you're losing control. And if you don't catch it quick enough, you'll soon find out that curbs, ditches, trees don't do nice to paint jobs on cars and alignments and all those kind of things. Sliding. We're at that time of the year, aren't we, where sliding is a very common thing. Sliding around. Whether you're sliding forwards, backwards, or sideways, sliding is not ideal, because it means you're not in control. The psalmist said in Psalm 73, verse 2, that there was a time when his feet nearly slipped when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. What happened? He got his eyes off God, and he got his eyes on the prosperity of other people around him that weren't living for God, and he said, Why am I bothering? He was slipping because he wasn't letting God order his steps at that moment. If the Lord is directing your steps, they will be with purpose, not by accident. You won't slip backwards into sin or sideways off the path, because God says that your steps will not slide if you're letting him order your steps. So may God help us to have him order our steps, to direct them. We said that ordering meant stability and being established. That's not slippery, because when you put your foot on something slippery, you feel, I can't just stand here. It's not firm. It's not a good secure place for me to be. I'm going to fall. But when God is directing our paths, he says that our paths will not, our foot will not slip. Our path will lead to peace, it says in verse 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Follow down the path of the steps of a good man, and what will it lead to? It will lead to peace. Mark the perfect man. The thought of one who here being perfect is being mature in their faith. Job is described as being perfect. Well, you know he wasn't perfect as in without sin, because nobody but Jesus has been that way. But he was a mature believer who desired and sought to do what was right. We're to make note of the person whose steps are being ordered by the Lord, because the end of their life is peace. The direction they're headed is peace. We know that ultimately the believer is headed to a place of peace, don't we? Heaven is a place of peace and joy. But there's also peace along the way for the one who is letting God order his steps. You realize if we let God order our steps, we'll have peace in our heart, knowing that we're fulfilling the perfect plan that God has for our life. That gives a peace. Say, things aren't going that well, but I know I'm doing the right thing, and God led me to this place, and God is leading my life. So therefore, in amongst the turmoil that's going on around me, I have peace in my heart. There will be peace in knowing that our steps are established on a solid foundation. You see, we may be going against the tide when we're walking with God, when we're letting God lead our path. We may be going the opposite way to what the world is going, but we say, but this is established. This is a firm foundation for my life. I have a peace in my heart that, hey, I'm standing on solid ground because God is leading my life. And a peace in knowing that God is watching over us, there to uphold us. Psalm 4 verse 8, it says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Not during the preaching, by the way. Don't sleep during the preaching. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I'll have peace. Why? Because God is the one who is watching over me. I can have a peace if I know that God is ordering my steps. My end is peace. My path is leading and guiding in peace. Peace in my heart. And in my life, peace is not dependent on outward circumstances alone, but in the comfort of knowing you're doing the right thing and that God is with you in what you're doing. And then finally, in verse 40, we find deliverance is also one of the results of having our steps ordered by the Lord. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. God doesn't promise to deliver us from all the difficulties of life. He talks about going through the fire, going through the flame, going through the waters, but they won't overtake us. But He often does deliver us from those, even those things, doesn't He? Remember the three Hebrew children? They wouldn't bow to the idol. When the trumpet sounded and Nebuchadnezzar said, whoever doesn't bow is going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. They said, we're not going to bow because it's not right before God. And the king brought them aside and said, listen, I'll give you another chance. And they said, look, we don't need another chance. We already made our choice. We're not going to bow. They said this. They said, if God will deliver us, we'll serve Him. But if God doesn't deliver us, we're still going to serve Him. But God did deliver them. What a great testimony it was to their faith and to the God who they served. In Psalm 27, verse 2, David said that his enemies stumbled and fell. It didn't look good for David, but his enemies stumbled and fell. God delivered him. In Psalm 34, verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord delivers us many times in our life. Psalm 34, verse 19, says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. One day we'll be delivered of all of the afflictions in our life. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10 tells us that God delivers and doth deliver and has delivered us from so great a death. God has provided deliverance. Let God order your steps. So the title of the message is the thought we'll end on tonight. Are your steps ordered by the Lord? Are you committed to His way, patient and meekly seeking His path and His direction in your life? Remember, He delights in your way. He will uphold you. He will provide for you. He will lead you from evil. Your steps will not slide. They'll be established. They will lead to peace, and you'll experience deliverance. Really, we would ask, why would you want to order your own steps when God's given all those great promises and blessings for when He orders our steps? And He wants to do it. It's not like He's unwilling. It's like, please, God, please, 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 please show me. I know you're busy, but please, will you take time for me? No, He says, I delight in your way. I want to order your steps. Will you follow me? Will you allow me to order your steps? Let's pray together.